B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning. .975 The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Mark Farsetta, Jerry Lynch. Bob Cooney with the day off today. He's off this week, actually. Pat Egan, producer of the program. Welcome in. Welcome in. Hope you're having just a lovely Monday morning to this point. A little rainy. Be careful on 76. Had a little issues coming into the city today, or coming out of the city, in here to beautiful Bala Cynwyd. Here's the deal. The 76ers, they won last night. They beat the Spurs 132-130. Night and day was the difference between Shake Milton Saturday night versus Shake Milton last night. And I love to see that. I'm happy to see that. I often in this business root to be wrong. I didn't want him back in the starting lineup because of the train wreck that it was Saturday night. He calmed the storm. He was much better last night. The flow of the offense was much better than it was. Granted, we are comparing it to that of, once again, an aforementioned train wreck. But it still looked 1,000 times better, and that's the bottom line. You saw a much more relaxed Shake Milton, a much more confident Shake Milton, a much more aggressive Shake Milton. That, in itself, was nice to see. 6 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, hit both free throws that he attempted last night. Not a lot of assists for a point guard, but also did happen to play almost 10 more minutes, played 7 more minutes than he did the previous night, which is nice, or the previous game, which was nice. I don't know what it is about the Sixers in a home mentality, but it looked like they were yucking it up a little bit before the game, being that they heard good old Matty Cord doing the announcements there, doing the PA announcements, and it just looked like they were having a good time.
And Ron Brooks.
Ron Brooks was doing a great job, and he was singing the national anthem.
That was cool to see him on the Art Museum stuff.
It was. I thought it was just everything was well done. Very well done for the first non-home game for the Sixers. That was great. But schematically, I still don't see a huge difference in this Sixers team. I see a difference in Shake Milton confidence-wise. Really can't argue that. Like I said, it was a much better version of Shake Milton. But watching those guys move around the court still looks very similar to the way it did prior to shutdown. You saw Joel Embiid come out with another good night. You saw Ben Simmons get into foul trouble early, so I'm trying not to judge too harshly on what Brett Brown's rotations was last night. I wasn't a big fan at the end of the first quarter, end of the first half, when you saw Howell Nettle on the floor, you saw Matisse Thybulle on the floor, Furkan Korkmaz on the floor, Al Horford on the floor, all at the same time. And I was thinking, I don't want to buy into this too much or get too angry with this, simply because Ben Simmons was in that much foul trouble early on in this game. But for the vast majority of it, you never felt comfortable in this win. And we don't need blowout wins to feel comfortable. You just want to seem like the team has control. And when you went through the ebbs and flows of this game, Sixers especially in the second half, they win the third quarter by 10 points. They actually look like they solidified some offense. And then they lose the fourth quarter by 10 points, but still managed to get the win on an incredible game-winning shot by Shake Milton. And that right there is exactly what you wanted to see. At the end of that game, the ball was in the hands of Shake, and we were all thinking of a very similar thing. What's the play? What's going on here? And Shake Milton stepped up at 3 and knocked it down. Bottom line, they won the game. But at any point, Jamie, did you feel like, oh, Sixers are going to get this?
I voted yes on your poll.
That they were going to win?
Yes.
I voted no on my own poll.
So your poll happened right before kind of that meltdown where the Spurs got back in it.
Exactly.
It was like they were down 6 maybe, and then the Spurs tied it up in like the blink of an eye.
I started to feel it. Started to sense it. And I was like, all right, people, what are you feeling right now?
Well, that happens when you have a lineup of Hollow freaking Neto and Furkan Korkmaz and Matisse Thybulle and just head-scratching lineups. But yeah, I for some reason, I felt like they were going to pull it off.
You're more optimistic than I am, because I looked over at that bench and I said, well, DeMar DeRozan is in this game, and Ben Simmons is sitting on the bench right now. He's in foul trouble.
It seemed
he's
like
about to foul out. I still can't believe DeMar DeRozan, with about, I want to say it was about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had Ben Simmons one-on-one to the hoop. And instead of DeMar DeRozan finishing and going to the hoop and trying to finish strong, draw the foul from Ben, get him out of the game because he had 5 fouls at that point, he kicks it out for a missed three. The Sixers can't get the rebound. Spurs then get the second chance three-pointer at that point in the game. And I'm looking at it going, thanks, DeMar. Appreciate that. But that was the point that I thought DeMar was going to more or less take over, and the Sixers didn't have that guy to take over.
Yeah, it seemed like for a stretch of time there, if he just went to the basket hard, he was getting an automatic bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that's probably Ben Simmons' foul trouble, but Joel Embiid was a little around the rim last night. He was cautious, I would say.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not a big deal, but the thing I walked away with last night, what happened to their defense?
It's gone away in the fourth quarter, especially.
That's two nights in a row where it's 46 and 43 allowed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
No.
Just can't.
No, and especially, I mean, a Spurs team that's not exactly a great Spurs team.
No. They've got some veteran players. And look, Rudy Gay had his season high, mm-hmm. of course, against the Sixers. How many times have you heard that this year? 10 to 12 times at least.
Right. Yeah, when it comes to the Sixers?
Yeah. Oh, so-and-so is having a career night. And it's like, well, is that part of their scheme where they just like let a TJ Warren go off and get his and then try and stop everybody else? Like, I don't know, but it's head scratching. Rudy Gay was a walking bucket last night too. Their defense is putting my brain in a pretzel.
22 points they've been outscored by in the last two games in the fourth quarter.
That's not a winning formula.
No, it's absolutely not. And here's the other thing. I was so frustrated by the time Shake Milton shot that three. The previous possession, when the Spurs have the side out of bounds and nobody fouls with 20 seconds left, there's 10 seconds that ticked off the clock on the inbounds play.
They almost got the steal. It almost paid off for them.
They almost got lucky.
Yeah, but they almost got screwed, too, because people were ducking them left and right.
And Ollie even said it during the broadcast. Like, if you're not getting the steal here, you got to foul away.
Yeah, that was like a good 10 seconds, probably.
It was 10 seconds. So I'm watching the whole play, and I'm going, wait, why aren't they fouling?
I think it was 20 when they inbounded.
20 seconds when they inbounded, 10 seconds when they went to the foul.
Yikes.
Line. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, why nobody's fouling? And they almost got the steal. I'm like, okay, cool. Oh, damn. And then I rewound it right before the foul shots just to watch Brett, because I wanted to see if the coach was yelling foul. I wanted to see if he was emphatically yelling foul, because the proper play there is, again, if you don't get the steal right away, if they don't mess it up, if they don't have some kind of bonehead play, the Spurs, that is, you foul. And they didn't foul. They tried to trap someone at the I think it was DeRozan at the half court line, and I'm going, okay, the steal's not coming. Then the ball squirted free. They couldn't pick it up. Then they finally fouled. But after that, another 3 seconds had ticked off the clock, and I'm looking at Brett the whole time. He was just standing there.
Well, it's interesting. I'd love to I'm sure he told them in a timeout or stop a possession somewhere, but he has said, I don't want to have to baby these guys. He believes that they should know.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's probably wrong with what this group has shown you.
I don't know who keeps their cool right there.
I don't either. Pop probably would have removed the mask and yelled out on the court.
Well, he was very active with removing the mask yesterday.
Yeah.
He was very active
in
doing it.
It's got to be pretty tough to coach with a mask on.
But the Sixers.
So I don't know if the players just, Brett, it was so basic of a basketball understanding that Brett's like, all right, well, they know they should foul. Like, duh.
10 seconds.
Or does he actually have to baby them and be like, guys, we have to foul here, right? Right?
I'll spare you the 2 seconds where you thought you might have had the steal.
Yeah.
Even 8 seconds of that possession, you're going, what's happening? Foul him. And if you're the coach, no matter how basic it is, aren't you going, foul him! Foul! Yeah. Aren't you like running up and down?
Now, probably should have Bobby Knighted a chair onto the court.
That would have stopped it. And then Shake has this side out of bounds.
They just didn't cover him on that play. Interesting defensive tactic.
I thought Embiid, you weren't getting a pass to Embiid in the post at that spot.
I didn't think that was the play call, though.
I don't know what the play call.
I don't think it developed because they just didn't guard him, and Shake was like, oh, okay. Well, you're not going to guard me? Bleep you, like the old Chase Utley. Boo? Bleep you.
Shake's defender cheated back to Embiid.
He sagged,
But I looked, and Horford, who had the ball at the top of the key, it looked like that was the one play that was supposed to happen, him get the ball, I guess. And then you were trying to force it down to Embiid, who was covered. You weren't forcing a pass between him and the rim. And then you see Shake just kind of leak back onto the court. And he's like,
oh, nobody's guarding
me. Nobody's here. Cool.
I'll just stick this game winner.
And he, to his credit, the guy that played Saturday night was not the guy that played last night.
No, it was
night.
Great to see.
It was.
And, did you see the first guy over to chest bump?
Well,
and
here's the deal. Even before he ran over, Embiid saw Shake Milton spot up that three. He turned to wait for a rebound if it occurred, And the second that ball went through, you see Embiid turn around with his big fat smile. And then you see him run over there, jump in the air, high five, the whole thing. You see Shake do that, like Vince McMahon, walk back to the bench and he's ready to go. You know, not quite that much of a strut, but still a strut nonetheless.
The two best friends anyone could have.
Oh, there's never an issue. Never an issue. And look, and it's great to see it because ultimately I want the Sixers to win. I want them to win the championship, obviously. But that was a great game for Shake Milton. I don't regret anything I said yesterday because it was that much of a train wreck. You could not have had a better debut as a starter in the restart for Shake Milton. Brett Brown stuck with him. He rewarded him with that game. And who knows, after whatever play Brett Brown might have drawn up before that side out of bounds and before that game-winning shot by Shake Milton, it didn't work, and it looked awful, whatever they tried to execute there. And Shake Milton stepped up, hit a three. Because ultimately, when you hit the three, who cares what the play was? But you still won. When we judge this Sixers team, really when we judge any team that we root for like the Sixers, when we're judging the team, we're not judging them on one sole performance against one team. We're judging how they're going to do when you extrapolate that the way they play in that game versus the upper echelon teams like the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. The Spurs are not the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, even the Pacers who had their number this year. No, they're not those teams. They're worse. And it was still a tight game. So that's concerning. That comes down to the defense. But back to Shake for a second. I think without him, though, what else stood out to me last night is you don't really have any guard play. Like, if Ben Simmons is in foul trouble and Shake Milton, like, that's all you got.
Haul Neto.
No.
Haul Neto.
Richardson was a positive to me last night. He looked, like, assertive, and he had his role in the offense. But, like, Alec Burks, what's going on there?
The coach, I guess, just doesn't like him.
You don't have many guys on this team outside of Shake and Ben that can actually handle and facilitate an offense. Mm-hmm. It's stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah. And how
that's why you, that's like Shake's value skyrocketed again last night because you saw just how badly this team needs somebody that with a perimeter game that can create, that can dish, that can shoot. Because they don't have it.
I don't know why.
Your desperation hangs on him.
I don't see how Haul Neto and Alec Burks get around 10 minutes each. Only 10 minutes. Alec Burks, I don't see how he gets actually 1 minute less than Haul Neto in a game where Ben Simmons had foul trouble throughout the game.
Yeah, he came in, I think, with like two
minutes. Ben Simmons played 25 minutes.
2 minutes to go. Haul came in with 2 minutes to go in the first half for like that end of half run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I was just watching it going, why? Why?
You got to have Neto. Apparently you need Neto. Need a lot of Neto. I don't know why, but apparently Brett Brown really likes that Neto fella.
What did Alec Burks do to Brett?
I don't know. I think the same thing Trey Burks did to Brett. Trey Burks did to Brett, actually.
And I'm looking forward to Glenn Robinson's return because I think he can fill a role on this team.
Yeah, I want to see what he can do. This is the guy that was getting a look as a starter before things were shut down.
Yeah.
So we'll look at that. But you're right. The defense is something that definitely stuck out to me in the fourth quarter.
Ben was... Like, did he get monstarred last night? Did he have the funky juice?
I don't know.
Suck his basketball powers away. Where the hell has he been these two games?
He has been neutered. It looks like by this offense.
I think he'll come out against Washington. You know, because we're having this conversation, probably have a triple double. But these two games were not Ben Simmons.
Their defense has disappeared. Ben has since we started play again, even including the exhibition games. Obviously, here Ben's regressed. Like.
I don't know what happened.
I loved the guy that I saw in the first exhibition game. The guy in the last two exhibition games. The guy in the middle exhibition game was still, you know, all-star Ben Simmons. The guy in the last one just was disinterested because it was the last game, didn't count for anything. He just wanted to get to it. And then, really, the last two games, just, eh.
Yeah.
Especially defensively.
Yeah, all around.
Warren goes off on this team, and then last night he gets into foul trouble. He had some ill-advised plays, obviously, defensively. He wasn't moving his feet.
Yeah, there were sloppy fouls.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what it is with Ben, but that juice needs to start flowing again.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Spurs. And yeah, you look at the Spurs last night, and they are not the upper echelon team. You should not have struggled, even with Ben Simmons and the foul trouble that he was in against a team like the San Antonio Spurs. So my major takeaway from this is, yeah, defensively you broke down in the fourth quarter. Shake Milton, as happy as I am to see him play a much more confident game and a better game. I mean, this guy was hitting a couple threes for you. He had some key slashing plays for you, had some good setups as well as the point guard of this basketball team. But overall, this Sixers team should not have struggled that way against the Spurs. So, I mean, we have our poll question going on today brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And it's a very easy question. Do you expect more of the Shake Milton that played on Saturday night, or you expect more of the Shake Milton that played last night? Saturday night or Monday night? I gotta be honest. I expect more of this version because it can't be as bad as what you did see happen on Saturday night. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Pretty easy to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday was the lowest of low bars.
But here's the question I hate to ask, but it is how I feel this morning. The Sixers won, and I hate to be nitpicky here.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel victorious today.
No, it was not. Look, all wins are good wins, but it did have that win of with stank on it.
You know that moral victory, you know, the cliche? It's like, there's no moral victories. Is there a moral loss? Because I feel moral loss today.
I thought, even if they had lost the game, I was still happy with Shake. Like, I wasn't going to be completely, you know, downtrodden by the game. Mm. But it did leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Like, basic basketball fouling with 20 seconds left when the other team has the ball.
Brett's rotations make me want to bash my head against
him. Again, I'm not going to go crazy on those today. Foul trouble with Ben.
But still, it's bad.
But then it goes back to Ben. Ben, be better. All right? So you look at all that, and I'm not going to go crazy on that, but it was still a little bit more Howell Netto than I would have liked, even yeah, in a Ben Simmons night.
Just like all 10 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah, like, I could like to see Alec Burks a little bit more, especially when you hit some ruts early offensively. And that was the other thing. Josh Richardson did not look good early on shooting from three.
No.
Got it together both offensively and defensively as the game went on. I mean, at the last attempt by the Spurs with 6 seconds left, excuse me, it would have been about 4 seconds left after Shake Milton hit what would be the game winner. You look back at DeMar DeRozan, and Josh Richardson's all over him. DeMar DeRozan literally threw him out of his way as he was going to the basket.
I tweeted right before that. I was like, you got to have either Richardson or Thibault on DeMar because that's where they're going, and have Horford and Embiid as the safety valve. That's exactly what transpired. Richardson, he's a pretty good defender. I'm not going to say great, but when he wants to, he can stick with somebody.
See, so we'll continue that conversation. Defense stood up there when it needed to stand up there, even though Josh Richardson, it was the one play. He was all over DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan literally threw him out of his way.
Yeah.
Cut to the basket.
I was shocked that there was no fouls called on that. It wasn't. You can't decide a game on those calls, but I was like, oh, man, that was close.
It was close. I will say this. The referees were a huge deal to me. There were a couple of plays. Like, the one play where Josh Richardson, I think, had his arm ripped off and there was no foul call.
I actually thought that was ball.
It was ball, but it looked like his body was all over his, like, the arm was, the hand was on the ball. The arm was all over the body.
Yeah. I got it. Brett like stormed the court.
Oh, yeah. But then you see Matisse Thybulle make no contact whatsoever on a play where he was the trailing man and he gets called for the foul.
Yeah. And there was the other one where Shake got the elbow to the face and got called for the foul.
But the other one that bothered me was a similar play to the Josh Richardson call where he got called. There was no foul call there. Similar play on the other end, and it was a foul call. So it was like, what? All right, whatever. But nonetheless, this is the farthest thing from my mind, to be honest with you, as far as the officiating goes.
Same.
Just something that stuck with me. The other thing that we'll look at today is Doug Peterson. Because as we know, Doug Peterson tested positive for coronavirus. And he's home right now, and he's self-quarantining. He's away from the team. Deuce Daly's taking on a bigger role, as Doug said yesterday. But Doug did address the media yesterday, which I was very happy to see. Because, you know, if there's bad news, you know, you call your parents with bad news, or you might have gotten hurt or something like that. It's better that you call instead of somebody else call. Because that way, oh, well, I talked to him. He sounded okay. Better than you calling my mom and be like, Ms. Farzetta, dude, Mark, fell. You know, oh, God, you know.
He's at the hospital. I have his cell phone.
I'd rather hear from the person that has the issue. So Doug is addressing the media yesterday. It was nice to see. There was a couple of different things that Doug got into yesterday. One of them being that he's still very confident in all the protocol at the NovaCare complex. He basically bookended his press conference with that. He opened with the confidence he has in all the protocol in South Philadelphia.
Was Jeffrey Lurie standing to the side of the camera with like a shotgun pointed at him?
You will
say all the right things, Douglas.
It was definitely like the medical staff. Actually, they were virtually threatening him. So Doug's sitting there at his desk. And he opens with, I'm confident in everything going on here. And then the first question is from Ruben Frank. And we'll let you hear this in a little bit. Ruben flat out just says, you know, you're confident. That's great. You sound like you're pretty confident that you didn't get it at the NovaCare complex. And I'm not looking for Doug to disclose all the information as to like who he thinks he got it from and where exactly he thinks he got it and all that. I was just expecting, oh yeah, no, I'm confident. I'm not going to go into details with you guys, but I'm confident I got outside of the NovaCare complex. Like that I didn't get. I thought it was a weird, answer, and we'll let you hear it a little bit later.
I think he must be positive that he didn't get it there.
It's not a question of wanting somebody to say, like, I don't want to
it's
hear
so
exactly
hard to know,
well, yeah, but at least, like, he said that he's overly confident in NovaCare. That's great.
Yeah, he called it their safe space again.
Yeah, he called it their own bubble.
Yeah.
But it's like when you're posed the question, you sound pretty confident that you didn't get it in NovaCare.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes, I am.
I think there's probably, and I'm just guessing, this is my speculation, the way I interpreted it, probably something he did that maybe would be considered wrong.
Stupid?
Yeah. That's how I read it.
Overall, that's the vibe.
Basically, what I heard was, yeah, I was at a golf tournament with this buffet last Monday, and I probably shouldn't have done that, but I'm not going to tell you guys that because I won't hear the end of it.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm confident I didn't get it at NovaCare.
Okay. I would bet something along those lines.
Yeah.
But when the simple question's posed, you sound confident you didn't get it there. Yep. I'm not even looking for like a long drawn out, well, you know, this person was out of town. I was in contact with them. I don't need specifics.
Yeah.
I just need the slam dunk. Because ultimately, yes, as concerned as you might be about Doug Peterson's health and all that, if you're just a football fan wanting the season to happen, don't you want to be a little extra assured that this team is not some great threat?
Yeah.
Don't you want to know that? Don't you want to know that the coach didn't get it and maybe gave it to another player? Don't you want to know that the coach wasn't around these other guys when he thought, oh, no, I think I feel fine. I'm fine. Like, don't you want to know that? Like, as much as possible, I want to get as close to definitive as we can get.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's an impossibility.
Yeah, no. I understand definitive is impossible. But don't you want to at least get as close to that goal line? Like, I know there's no touchdown.
But I think he knows.
Then why would he ask the question point blank? Oh, you sound pretty confident. He trails off. Like, let me just say I'm, you know, the protocol.
I think he did something stupid.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
I think he did something dumb that he regrets, and he doesn't want to hear about it.
All right, we'll let the people play detective, all right? And look, it's not a matter of here's what exactly I want Doug to say. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of just you're saying all the confident things about the NovaCare complex, but when point blank asked, you seem pretty confident you didn't get it at NovaCare. All I was expecting was
me and Lane shouldn't have been chest bumping in the locker room.
I certainly don't think it was that, but we'll let you hear from Doug when we come back. The Phillies played yesterday, happened. Jake Arrieta, it was fun to watch him miss spots again. Man, that was great.
Did they play?
He actually looked better than I kind of expected.
Didn't he get rocked? The two home runs that he gave up were out of the...
Yankee Stadium home runs.
Yeah, but he also missed
It's movement. Also Jake Arrieta.
It's belt
high. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be anything, but it was better than I expected.
Belt high, middle of the plate misses.
I mean, that Brett Gardner one, that looked like a double down the line. But
that's why I have hated that stadium since I first saw a game there. And not in person. I saw like this, pop fly to gone. What?
You know and I mean? It's tough job for Tom McCarthy and those guys doing it on the monitors from back home. Because even with the Jay Bruce home run, they were like, and pop fly. No, oh, it's
thanks.
Gone.
No,
it's,
thanks.
It's the only stadium I've ever seen where there was a broken bat home run. Like a guy breaks his bat, he should not be able to hit a home run.
No, everything looks like a pop fly to the corner outfield spots.
Except for the Phillies.
It's four rows back. Well, hey, Jay Bruce.
Oh, hey.
Jay Bruce getcha?
You know, never forget.
He's wearing that Dom Brown.
We got one.
Dom Brown number 9.
It's one of the few good contact moves. Embrace it.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Jay Bruce. I'm frustrated that it seems like the Yankees can hit all these home runs and the Phillies' vaunted offense can't.
I forget what point it was in the Sixers game, but I know they went to commercial. And all of a sudden I flip back and there's the third home run of the game by the Yankees. The three-run home run, I think it was. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right, and back to the Sixers. 610-632-0975. We come back. Let's hear from Doug Peterson. Also, overall takeaways of last night. Sixers game. I think we do see this version of Shake Milton a little bit more often. Certainly than we saw on Saturday night. We'll get into that. But like I said, right when we come back, let's hear from Doug Peterson, and we'll play press conference detectives. Time to the Fanatic 624.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Ah, Kev checked in again. Our boy Kev Carroll. Leave it to me for the 76ers to praise their defense, in which they gave up 130 points. Because that's what we're doing. And I criticized Doug. I just want a little bit more confidence out of Doug. We literally brought up that the Sixers have been blown out in the fourth quarter by 22 points in the last two games.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's praising.
They've allowed 257 points in two games in the bubble.
It's amazing what some people hear.
Yeah, they hear what they want to hear.
They hear what they want to hear. Yeah, it's exactly. Adorable. Well, either way, thanks for trying to... I'll say thanks for having the radio on. Thanks for trying to listen. But
yeah,
anyway.
Their defense... I don't know what happened. Those first two games in the bubble, like the exhibition games, I went, damn. Like, they had arms. I read that one tweet. It was like, the Sixers have Godzilla defensive arms everywhere. Mm. And it just looked like if they were going to do anything, it was going to be because of defense. And ever since those two games, it's just been hot trash bag water.
I haven't seen the defense that we saw the Sixers have before the shutdown.
Yeah.
Like, they were starting to slip a little bit, but they looked like they were, going to right the ship come playoff time.
Yeah, the rim protection is non-existent right now.
And does anybody feel like, and again, I don't want to go down this too much because I look at the foul trouble, but do you get the feeling that there is a guess and test period here in these eight games? Like, I get the feeling Brett doesn't really care about what the seeding is. I get a feeling of, well, let's see if this works.
Yeah, I think they...
Example, Howell Neto.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they care if it's Miami or Boston.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to... Like, I think he's tinkering... The rotation tinkering is more important to him than seeding.
All right. I have had the 4 years of I don't care. You know what I mean? With the Sixers and the process and all that. Oh, I don't care if we win, that thing. I need wins. Like, I need as many wins as possible. I want to feel as confident in this Sixers team as possible going into the playoffs.
And you have another... Look, these eight games before the playoffs were pretty much a cupcake. I think there's, like, two good teams. One was Indiana and one was... I forget who. But you have Washington now on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. The Spurs and Washington are not good basketball teams. You struggled with one, which is good. That's fine. It happens. You got to take care of Washington.
4 o'clock game against Washington.
Love a day game.
Coming up tomorrow. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. So we'll obviously talk about that as well. As I mentioned, Doug Peterson addressed the media yesterday. It was great to see Doug. You heard that he tested positive. You saw the report. We had Tim McManus on yesterday. Doug came out with an opening statement, as they often do. And this is what Doug had to say about protocol in the NovaCare complex.
I'm very comfortable and confident that the protocols that we have in place at NovaCare are for their, for the best interest of the football team and all those that enter that building, and still is a very safe environment. And one of the things that, we all need to learn, and what I need to learn taken away from this, is obviously we need to protect ourselves when we're in the community, away from the building, continue to wash our hands, wear our masks, do the social distancing that medical teams and doctors have prescribed.
I love all that. That all sounds great. Go team, go medical staff, take care of these players, make sure everyone's good, make sure it stops at Doug and Lane, and then make sure we only have some concerns about a guy like Press Taylor, who was sent away from the team as well. Not a positive test, but was sent away from the team, as were Nate Gary and Jordan Mailata.
They were all chest bumping each other in the locker room. Shirtless.
It's possible.
A lot of droplets exchange.
It's good to see you. Hey, I haven't seen you in forever.
Take your shirt off. Let's bump it out.
What? You're painting a uncomfortable visual right now.
Well, there's football guys excited to see each other.
Yeah, do you even know sports, bro?
You're clearly not a football guy.
I'm just wondering what you were watching last night.
If you're not chest bumping your bros, you're not a football guy.
Do we not chest bump whenever we show up here?
I've never once chest bumped.
Imagine what the football players
I can't get up that high to chest bump you guys.
I put you on my shoulders and paraded you around the office.
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was fun. But nonetheless, this whole thing is great.
I believe Doug, though, don't you?
That they're taking care of the NovaCare complex?
Yeah, that he feels safe there. Yeah.
I do believe Doug.
Yeah.
But all this is the I guess, speculation is trying to read between the lines. Here it is. Full context. question and answer. All right? Reuben Frank asked him the question. He's pretty, hey, Doug, you seem pretty confident you need to get this in over here. The first question of the press conference. Here's the way all this played out yesterday.
It sounds like you'd know that you'd contracted this outside the NovaCare complex. Are you pretty confident that that's the case? And what gives you that sense?
Yeah, you know, listen, and respectfully, and I'm going to say this one time, and I'm going to leave it at that. This is something that I don't necessarily want to comment on for myself or speculate on anyone else, obviously. I'm just going to reiterate the fact that, you know, I feel very good about the safety of our building and the protocols that we have in place. That's one thing that I do know. And obviously going through this has reinforced that, you know, for me at this time.
The last line where he says it's reinforced that it's common makes you think, okay, all right, fine. However, I don't understand. If somebody were to ask me that and I had other players at stake, like their health at stake, people's confidence in the league actually happening and having a season at stake, I would, like, no, you could easily say, yeah, I'm very confident I didn't get it inside. That's it. That's all you, like, I'm not looking for any drawn out answer. I'm not looking for a lot of specifics. I'm not looking for any violation of his privacy. I'm just looking for a vote of confidence that the NovaCare complex is as safe as Doug is advertising it to be. That's it. Do I think he got it outside the NovaCare complex? Yes, I do. Do I think they're making it as safe as possible? Yeah. However, two people now that have been at that NovaCare complex have tested positive for coronavirus. Three other people have been sent home because they've been in close contact and all that. People have their doubts as to whether or not a football season is going to happen. I would have liked Doug to at least say, yes, I'm very confident I didn't get it at the NovaCare complex.
Yeah, it would have been a little more soothing, but
yeah. I just need a slam dunk. That's all I needed.
Yeah,
I needed a touchdown. I didn't need to go to the 1 yard line because I feel like I'm at the 1 yard line right now. I'm just staring at the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's an inevitability that teams are going to be affected by this across everywhere.
Yes.
It's eventually every team will be affected.
Which is why I don't go the proverbial, the metaphorical, as you rolled out, the golf outing, whatever. You can get this anywhere.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
So I wouldn't look at Brad and be like, oh, what was he doing that he shouldn't have been doing? I would have been like, oh, coronavirus happened.
Yeah, it's not like Doug was the St. Louis Cardinal going to casinos on a road trip. You know what I mean? But I'd like to, I don't know. It's so hard. Even if you do the contact tracing, unless you're in direct contact with somebody that pretty much had it,
mm-hmm.
and you're at one of these like super spreader parties, it's like so hard to know that like they probably don't even know for sure.
Although that's the story we need.
Doug was at one of these New Jersey lifeguard keg parties down the shore, doing that. Like that's not out of the question.
Yeah,
Doug likes to party.
Oh yeah,
he's
probably
a phenomenal flip cup and beer pong player. I would imagine.
Probably. I mean, he's an athlete, so he's probably very competitive at those things.
He's probably mobbing the shore. Just beer pong running people.
Is the OD opened? If not, Doug closed it down.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thing I just wanted, that's the thing I wanted to listen to yesterday and hear yesterday. And when we had Tim McManus on, you know, he wasn't sure, that information hasn't come out yet. I get the overall sense that Doug did not get it in the NovaCare complex, which ultimately does make me feel confident that we will start the season on time and these players will be taken care of to that point. But I just wanted that, you know, nice, fuzzy, warm blanket to be like, you know what? Here it is. I'm confident I didn't get it there.
Yeah, I think he would just open himself up to maybe another question on it. Like, well, what are you doing, Doug?
But see, that's the thing you can't. Like,
and it's like, well, now you're getting into my personal life.
But he doesn't need to go personal. He doesn't even need
to
do that.
But if he didn't catch it at the NovaCare, then it becomes personal life.
But the way he even sets up his answer was, look, without getting into the specifics of this and personal stuff and all that, he sets it up as, you know, guys, here's the wall. All right, you're not coming on this side of my wall here. I'm not letting you inside. All I'm going to do is just tell you simply, I would have liked to hear him say, look, we're not going to get too personal here. We're not going to go too many details, but I'm just going to let you know I didn't get it. I don't feel like I got it at NovaCare.
My gut says he did something he might regret outside of the NovaCare.
Left to interpretation.
But I'm completely guessing.
I don't want to, like, look, I don't even, if he said yesterday, I'm very confident I didn't get it at NovaCare, non-story.
Yeah,
the fact that it's open ended is like the ball was on a tee, and
it's Doug,
and he swung and he hit the rubber thing under the tee. Is what he did.
It's Doug. That's just kind of him. He's kind of goofy
usually a little bit more open. Not that I'm not looking to pry into his personal life. I'm more or less looking for what a lot of people are looking at right now, which is overall whether or not the NFL season is going to happen. And I want to know that every team is taking. Like, who is it? The Saints just rented out a hotel.
Yeah,
they're, they're basically going to have as close to a quarantine as you can.
Yeah, I saw the Broncos have like misting stations after practice that the players walk through that's supposed to sanitize them. It's basically like you're just walking through a Purell mist. It is going to be interesting. I saw like Hard Knocks is coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is actually a Hard Knocks that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I really want to pay attention to this because it's going to be interesting to see. Like once we get more information on how the Eagles are handling it, comparing it to other teams, who's doing what differently, you would think everybody would be on somewhat of a similar page, but it's apparently up to each local governance, you know, for the guidelines to follow. So who knows? But, you know, I would imagine everything is pretty bubble-ish down there.
I would certainly hope so. The thing that still strikes me as weird, and we talked about this yesterday, is the opt-out for players is tomorrow.
Yeah, now
at 4 p.m.
I thought it was Thursday.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm sorry. Thursday at 4 p.m. I just still, the bottom line is I still feel like that's an odd place to have it or odd time to have it when you have 10 days before live hitting. Like before real contact happens.
I'm surprised they're putting any deadline in. Like I would think because this is so unique and so out of control, you would kind of have a revolving door of opt-out time. Have, you know, your insurance or contingency plans in place for payments.
Yeah.
Like figure something out. But you shouldn't be holding a gun to players' heads all year to play. Look, like if something changes in October, then, you know, Darius Slay, let's say he's got a young kid at home with something. I'm just using him as an example. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, wait, this is getting out of control.
Uh-huh.
I can't keep bringing this back into my house.
Well,
why shouldn't he be able to opt out in October?
Right. If you have a player go out there and actually contract the virus, let's say in like week 3, and then they go home and they recover, and then they come back, and then week 3, 4, maybe they still have the lingering issues that some people have, and they can't play. What happens in that scenario?
Yeah.
Is it just like any other injury? They're done for the year, or they, for whatever physical reason, they can't play? Or they don't want to risk, I don't know, giving it to somebody else? I don't know.
It seems borderline evil to even put a deadline on it.
It really does.
I the only thing I can come up with is that it's a benefit for the team so that they know what their roster is going to be. Mm-hmm. But who gives a damn? Like, you're playing in these uncharted waters. Let players opt out whenever the hell they feel like it. They're adults. They're grown-ass men that have tough decisions to make.
If the season starts and there's an outbreak, or let's even say there's an outbreak after the opt-out period, what do you have to play?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why even put any deadline on it?
So even if there is an outbreak, a long
so you're locked
players,
in now, you can't leave?
Exactly. I'm sure enough players could look at the rest of football, and I'm sure the Players Association would step in as well and go, all right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
That deadline was cute and all, but look at this outbreak that just happened.
Yeah, why are you putting a deadline on a pandemic?
I don't know. We know why, from a football perspective, from a team perspective, they want to know
what benefit the team, which is evil.
They want to know what the roster is going to be. I get it. But for the safety and well-being of the players, this doesn't make any sense.
And this is why I think the NFL is going to happen, because clearly they don't care about their players. Like, you know, Jeffrey Lurie's probably one of the more caring owners in the league, I would imagine. He is a very close friend.
Best friend's Jason Peters.
Yeah, exactly. He's got, you know, he's pretty ingrained. He's not like Daniel Snyder where he avoids, you know. So he's as probably friendly to players as you get in the league. But at the end of the day, if Jeffrey Lurie's got to make a decision between putting his players out there at risk or making his TV money or his $240 million revenue share from the league just existing, what do you think he's choosing?
Yeah, right. No.
So what are the evil guys, the evil owners going to do? Because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they don't care.
First and foremost, I don't like the idea of any deadline if there's going to be a deadline for the roster. I don't agree with any deadline that happens before guys are actually hitting each other on the field, because that'll be the ultimate test. And I know they're getting tested as they go in and out, and you're going to have false positives and all that stuff. But if guys are false negatives, if you have guys on the field and they're hitting each other, they're more at risk than guys that are just walking around each other in a weight room. And then you can wipe down things and all that. But when you look at the way this is structured, it still seems like it's much more of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type thing. Not on a baseball level by any means, but the set of deadline before guys are actually, you know, hitting each other, actually having...
Like, they don't even know what training camp looks like yet.
They're having walkthroughs right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the easy part. And you've already had two people, including your head coach, test positive, including your Pro Bowl right tackle.
Yeah, so, when you boil it down, the NFL is a... you know, I don't want to say evil, but it's
crass, crass business.
Yeah, it's a crass, just, you know,
they lack empathy.
Yeah, like, you know, the dollar is the bottom line, mm-hmm. and they're showing it again. Like, I just don't understand why you would even put a deadline on it. Like, you know, somebody tweeted in and was like, you know, it's only to benefit the teams. Teams got to know what their roster is. If a guy starts having a bad year, he could opt out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let him.
Yeah.
You're financially flexible enough as a league where you have that luxury of allowing players to do that.
You know,
so maybe be empathetic towards them.
But here's the other part of it.
Like, Jeffrey Lurie's not out there exchanging droplets with people tackling right. on every single play. So, you know.
We don't know what he's doing.
They're the ones at risk. I get it. But the other aspect is, if, let's say, you just opt out because you don't feel safe, no one's high risk, odds are most NFL players are going to make that $150K that you would have made if you just opted out before the season anyway. So if you just opt out, that's it. Like, I don't think they're going to, oh, you're opting out? Here's an additional $150,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the way it's going to play out. It seems very weird to me that this is how they decided to structure this, especially before contact happened.
Yeah.
It
does seem very strange.
It does. But here's the bottom line, and the NFL knows this. They know they got us.
Yeah, of course.
No matter who's out there on Sunday, on any given Sunday, who's playing in the game, they know we're going to be watching the NFL.
Oh, I recognize it's a terrible league.
It doesn't have to be, wait, huh?
Well, just from a moral standpoint.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like they're the morally corrupt.
Stuff. Right.
Yeah. So, like, but I still watch. I'm a part of the problem.
Yes, as am I. But we all
because, are. Yeah, because they got us.
Yeah, they know we're going to be watching.
Of course.
Because football is the one thing that we've been looking forward to this entire time. Like, we've all been looking forward to a restart. But in football, it seemed like the most, the most logical thing, because they had the most time to plan for it, more so than anybody. The sport itself, if it was supposed to kick off in March, obviously that's not happening. If it was supposed to kick off 2 weeks ago, obviously that's not happening. Like baseball, right? Obviously that's not happening. But if you look at what could happen in the fall with this virus,
who knows?
it's still very much unknown.
Yeah.
Which is why the NFL would take every precaution possible to make sure their players are ready. But in the back of their minds, they're thinking, well, you know, if we got to go to our eighth right guard on the season, then guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to our eighth and probably ninth right guard on the season.
Yeah.
If that's what it comes to. Because guess what, kids? You're going to be watching. And I'm going to be watching too. It's what we have looked forward to throughout the entire shutdown. Sure, the NBA starting up again. Sure, we've been looking forward to hockey, right? And the Flyers got some bad news. Michael Roth will talk about it a little bit later.
Yeah, bummer.
But when you look at all this in the grand scheme of things, they know they got us.
Yeah.
So even if they start playing the revolving door of who's in and out, regardless of why, whether it's COVID, whether it's another injury that we've seen 1,000 times, they know we're going to be sitting at home watching
this. If Jalen Hurts and Jack Driscoll are out there on the right side of the line with Matt Pryor as the right tackle, I'm still watching.
All right. We did have some, I think, sad news yesterday. And we're going to get to that in a little bit here, because it involves an institution that also has a football tie-in that we'll talk about in a second here. 610-632-0975. We'll also spin it back to the Shake Milton conversation. And here's what I did like. This was the first home game with the virtual fans for the 76ers. They had their own fans. Alan Horwitz, the Sixers sixth man himself,
yeah.
To see the white-haired gent sitting on the sideline of the 76ers games at the Wells Fargo Center. He was there.
I noticed Joel Embiid's brother was in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Paris.
Oh, was he sitting in front of Franklin by chance?
I don't recall Franklin's relation to him. Because you get like a section.
Yeah.
You get assigned a section, a row, and a seat.
Now, do you get that viewing experience of, like, from that section?
So they put the broadcast, because Kyle from Crossing Broad was on it last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he kind of flipped the camera and was like, here's what you see. The broadcast is going to be like in the Microsoft Zoom, or not Microsoft Teams, invitation. And I guess he was saying they kind of encourage you. He was in like a six box. So I guess the broadcast is in the middle, and then there's six boxes around the perimeter,
mm-hmm.
and that's your section. And they encourage you to like high five and cheer with your section. So I guess somehow you can, you know, turn and directionally and
I actually thought it looked cool.
It is cool. Yeah. I think it's cool.
I think the
NBA product looks great.
It really,
like when you see the court, you're like, wow. Like you wouldn't even kind of notice. It was smart putting up those screens. It blocks out all the empty arena.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of normal.
Yeah, I was a little worried about it. It looks like a TV set for a basketball
game.
Yeah,
it looks great.
It does look great. So we'll talk about that. Also, there's another optic thing that involves one of us at the Phillies. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. When we come back, we'll tell you that little piece of sad news. It's unfortunate what happened in Center City. We'll get into that, and then we'll also get back into the 76ers and what your takeaways from last night's game were. Time of the Fanatic, 6:52.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.